on Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 41, a comfy musical instrument hug, a musical secret, and a local luthier with his take on one of the big acoustic guitar brands. All that and more right after this. If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 41. This is the show where you're going to learn about new acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your best acoustic life. Here we are in episode number 41, and I want to dig into the five guitar geek items that I have for you, as I do on all Acoustic Tuesday episodes. But first, we have to kick things off with a little Acoustic Tuesday tradition known as Guitar Geek Trivia. Here is your Guitar Geek Trivia question for today. The Tacoma record label was founded in the year 1959. This label was highly influential in the acoustic world. Who founded this record label? Was it A, Robbie Basho, B, John Fahey, C, Leo Kottke, or D, Peter Lang? Go ahead and ponder that. And of course, at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, I want to dig into the guitar geekiness, as I mentioned before. But before I do so, I need to introduce you to somebody who's making this show happen. Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr. the first. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the man in the button-up shirt, the finely starched collar, and the fancy hairdo.
Thanks, Tony. I'm glad to be here. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I say fancy hairdo because I don't have a lot of options. And I'm fine with that. It's one less thing I have to think about. You know, it's just kind of like make the line down the middle straight, comb it out, no knots, comb the beard out, little product, that's it. That's my decision making. I feel like your decision making is a little bit more.
I try to make it simple.
Mm.
So, yeah, not that fancy.
Well, you know what? You make simple look good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm sure everyone, all our AT viewers look good as well.
And I must say that your nose is healing quite nicely.
Thank you very much. Yes, it has. All right. So,
So the first item on my list today, Noah, we're gonna take a trip to Belgrade. Now, Noah hails from Belgrade,
my hometown.
And there's actually a instrument strap manufacturer that operates out of Belgrade, Montana. 99% of what they make comes out of Belgrade, Montana. Now, Belgrade is literally just maybe 10 miles away from Bozeman. And this company is called Optech. Now, they make straps of all sorts, camera straps, gun slings, you name it. If it has the word strap in it, they probably make it. But they have a smaller operation called Neotech that falls under that Optech umbrella, and they specialize in instrument straps. And when I say instrument straps, I mean instrument straps of all kinds. Saxophones, tubas, I don't even know if tubas need a strap, but if they do, Neotech makes it. But I want to focus on their actual guitar straps, their stringed instrument straps, because, now, let me first say this. I've featured a lot of different straps on Acoustic Tuesday thus far. In episode 28, I featured Lakota Leathers, an awesome, nice, supple leather strap. On episode 32, I featured Soldier Straps, made out of Chicago, kind of a custom strap with some vintage-inspired patterns that they use. Now, those two straps are very different, and I'd like to think that Neotech is very different as well, because their straps are extremely functional. The reason I like the Neotech straps, now I use the what's called the Slimline strap. It looks like your standard guitar strap. No big deal, right? Well, they're made, first of all, with top grain leather, which is awesome. I mean, all the connections, top grain leather, that's great. But what I love most about this strap is the inside. It actually has a neoprene inside. Almost think of it as it feels like memory foam in a way. And now I use this strap on my banjo, hence the little clips on the bottom here. But their guitar strap is the same, it's the same guts, it's just the connections are a little different. And I can tell you this, the reason I love this strap on my banjo is because my banjo is a heavier instrument. And that neoprene foam on the inside really makes the banjo comfortable to hold for extended periods of time. So if you find yourself wrestling with your strap and just kind of having a heavier guitar, maybe it's an electric guitar, not on Acoustic Tuesday, but you get the idea. Maybe it's a heavier guitar, an awkward guitar. They have straps of all different kinds with this neoprene on the inside that makes them extremely, extremely comfortable. Now, they come, as I mentioned, in many, many different sizes and most importantly, widths of the strap. So this is I believe this is a 2-inch, again, called the Slimline, but they have a 3-inch and even a 4-inch I've seen on there. And of course, they do some custom stuff as well. So make sure to check them out, Neotech straps. The price range varies depending on the strap that you want to get. I want to say that my Slimline strap was maybe around $25, $30. That's not accurate, but of course, I shouldn't say that's not accurate. It's in that range. But of course, for more details, you can go to acousticlife.tv, click on episode 41, and you'll be able to find all the information you need on Neotech straps, and of course, order one right from there if you want to. And remember, anything you purchase off of acousticlife.tv, 100% of those proceeds go to the Guitars for Vets nonprofit program. So again, acousticlife.tv to do a deep dive on Neotech straps. Now I want to move on to my next item here. My next item is one that, well, let's just say I saw it at a recent concert. So Noah, Levi, and I, the Acoustic Tuesday crew, went to Missoula about a couple months ago to see I'm With Her, made up of Aoife O'Donovan, Sarah Watkins, and Sarah Jarosz. An incredibly amazing trio of very talented women who sing amazing and play their instruments incredibly well. Now, Sarah Jarosz, during the show, played an octave mandolin with what looked like a shrunken guitar body. Think of an archtop acoustic guitar, but shrunken with an octave mandolin neck on it. Now, this instrument looked very familiar to me because I had actually seen it before. I knew that Sarah Jarosz played it, but I also seen Eli West, who's also from a Seattle area. He had played something similar. And also Ben Winship down in Driggs, Idaho, a fantastic mandolin player, played an instrument of the same name. Well, now the name of this instrument is an octave mandolin, but it's who it's made by that I want to share with you right now. Fletcher Brock out of Seattle, Washington. He makes 15 instruments per year. So to own a Fletcher Brock instrument is something special in and of itself, but the tone these things produce is ridiculous. I've heard the mandolins, I've heard the octave mandolins. Again, as I mentioned, Sarah and Eli both play the octave mandolins. I've heard Ben Winship's mandolin, and they're really finely crafted instruments. Now Fletcher Brock originally started on the East Coast. He studied under luthier Michael Allison. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Yeah, Michael Allison. And then moved to the West Coast. Now, again, as I mentioned, he's making about 15 instruments per year and doing so at a high level of craftsmanship. In fact, I've recently discovered a really cool demo of one of these octave mandolins in action. So let's actually have a look at that right now. So that was a Fletcher Brock octave mandolin in action. What I love about this instrument is that not only does it retain the dulcet sounds of a mandolin, but it gives it some body too, because it's just it's a bigger vibrating volume of air. The actual acoustic box, the guitar body, pushes more air and creates a little bit more of that low end. So if you get a chance to hear one of these instruments, better yet, if you get a chance to play one of these instruments, you're in for a real treat. Now, if you're interested in checking out what Fletcher has available or speccing out a custom instrument, the best way to do so is to get in contact with him directly from his website. And of course, you can get there. Just go to acousticlife.tv, click on episode 41, and of course, you'll see all the necessary details there. They're really exceptional instruments. I think they're elegant. I think that's probably one of the best words to describe. They're just elegant, both in sound and in looks. He's doing a hell of a job. Now, I want to move on to what I'm listening to this week, because that's the musical secret I want to share with you. But first, I want to visit the mailbag, and holy cow, I got some splaining to do. I got some splaining to do, Lucy.
I'm excited about this one, Tony.
Well, this one's cool. You might notice an added trinket on my desk. I'll get to that in a second. But first, here's what came in the mailbag. First and foremost, my episode of Christy Hayes' River Swimmer that I pre-ordered some time ago came in, and I'm super happy to have it. Thank you for making a beautiful, beautiful album, Christy. Great work on this. And for those of you who have not checked this album out yet, please do so. Christy Hayes' River Swimmer, it's exceptional. I've been listening to it on Spotify, awaiting my analog copy, and here it is. So I'm excited to dig into this as well. Next up. Now, I was very excited to find these because I had talked about Benjamin Todd on a previous episode of Acoustic Tuesday, and I could only find the digital version of his album. And I was bummed about that. I mean, I enjoyed listening to it nonetheless, but I like to hold my music. I like to read the liner notes, and I just think it's a special moment that you get to share with that artist. Even though they may not be there, it's just kind of my ritual. So I found out that they pressed Benjamin Todd's I Will Rise album on vinyl. So I ordered that. And then, wouldn't you know it, that they offered this really cool package deal. He's also a member of the Lost Dog Street Band, so I ordered their album on vinyl as well. The company that's doing it is called Anti-Corporate Music. They do a great job, and I'm super pumped to get those on the turntable. They even sent these cool little posters, which I'm excited about as well. It's a geeky thing. I like it. I'm sorry. I just liked it a lot. Now, last but certainly not least, I got a letter in the mail that's going to explain this little fella right here. We'll call him the Hodag, and this mug right here. And I believe Noah, do you have a mug as well?
I do, featuring the
mythical beast.
Yes.
And I'm just gonna, since Levi's not here, I'm gonna share what I'll call Levi's mug, also a Hodag mug, and also we got three Hodag shot glasses. Okay. Hold on, I'm not done. And of course, well, I got the Hodag statue, the honorary Hodag statue, mythical beast from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And here's a little bit of an explanation. This comes from Acoustic Tuesday viewer, watcher, and fan Greg T. He says, as I view Acoustic Tuesday, I cannot help but notice that the roly-poly kids from time to time move around Tony's desk as the show goes along, Willie and Wendy. I cannot help but think they are looking for a pet. Please find the perfect pet for the kids. Yes, a purebred Hodag. They are low maintenance, housebroken, and eat most anything. The kids will love him, she, it. Also, find appropriate coffee mugs and shot glasses. Here in Wisconsin, we drink our brown liquor out of the bottle or a shot glass when we just want to snort. Also, the handkerchief has been an honor flight for vets from World War II, and he's referring to the Hodag Country Fest handkerchief, which features just a great logo. I mean, you have a banjo player with a handlebar mustache riding a Hodag. That's a tattoo idea that I think might need to be implemented.
That's pretty incredible.
So I want to thank Greg T. for sending along the Hodag, the official Hodag care package from Wisconsin. Really appreciate that, and the kids do as well. Obviously, they're getting along with the Hodag quite well. So thank you, Greg T. And that's it for the mailbag. Noah, how does the coffee taste different out of your Hodag mug?
Hold on, let me see. It tastes just as good as it always has.
I feel like a little extra flavor, just because of the mythical properties of the beast.
Well, you got the full picture Hodag mug, like the where the wild things are.
Yeah, well, I saw you using this one yesterday, and I kind of was just out of the corner of my eye. I was like, oh, I wanted that one.
Mm-hmm, I know.
So I waited until they were all clean, and I got here and I picked this one.
Great mug, though. Love it.
So thank you. Thank you again, Greg T. And for everybody who sent stuff into the mailbag, we certainly appreciate hearing from you. Now, I want to move on to what I'm listening to this week. And of course, this artist is a musical secret for a couple of reasons. Actually, this is an artist that was on my radar for some time. I want to say back 4 or 5 years ago, I discovered this artist and was blown away by their harmonies, by their song selection, and by the overall tone and vibe that they created. I picture their music coming out of a 50s stereo at somebody's house. It's just kind of what image goes into my mind as I listen to these wonderful songstresses named The Secret Sisters, and of course their real names, Laura and Lydia Rogers. These two are fantastic. If you like harmony, if you like kind of maybe on the verge of rockabilly-ish. Noah, is that accurate? Would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not straight ahead rockabilly, but they have this. They have a little grit to them.
Yeah.
But their harmonies are unreal. I mean, obviously family harmonies are probably the best, and sister harmonies, here they are in action. Now, the Secret Sisters have three different albums out. Their self-titled album, which is what I first heard, is outstanding. In fact, the standout track for me is House of Gold. I think it's the last track on the album. Just the treatment of that song, an iconic country song, it was done so well. But that's actually not what I have for you to listen to today. I'm going to take a little bit of a detour, and we're going to listen to a traditional tune that they redid called the Wabash Cannonball. So let's actually have a listen to that by the Secret Sisters.
From the green old Smoky Mountains to the Southlands by the shore, she's mighty tall and handsome, she's known quite well by all. She's a regular combination of the Wabash Cannonball. Our eastern states are dandies, so the people always say, from New York to St. Louis with Chicago by the way, from the hills of Minnesota where the rippling waters fall, no changes can be taken on the Wabash Cannonball.
All right, that was the Secret Sisters with their version of Wabash Cannonball. Now, as I mentioned before, they have three albums out. Their self-titled album, which is stunning. Their next album called Put Your Needle Down, which is actually one of my favorites. And ironically enough, after that record, they got dropped from their label because the album didn't perform good enough. Which I'll just say right now, I mean, I'm going to stand on the record saying that is an awesome album, and I would encourage you all to check it out. It's fantastic. I think it's more of a music industry business thing that, ew, that's just gross to me. So they were dropped from their label after that album, and they almost went to house cleaning to pay the bills and things like that. But because they were persistent, and by virtue of connecting with Brandi Carlile, that brought out their next album via actually a Pledge Music campaign entitled You Don't Own Me Anymore, which I think was an aptly titled album. I think that might have been a reference to their previous label. I'm not sure. I don't want to spread rumors. The story might be on their website if you want to learn more about it. It's fascinating. Of course, you can go to acousticlife.tv to check them out in their entirety. There's going to be a lot more musical samples for you, links to their website so you can actually learn about them and their really cool story of perseverance. It's really, I enjoyed reading about them because I didn't know much about them personally before researching them for this episode. And it's a wild story, so I would encourage you to check it out for sure. Again, that's at acousticlife.tv. Click on episode 41, and you'll be able to do a full-blown deep dive on the Secret Sisters. And it's definitely worth it because their music is outstanding. Now, I've got a MacGyver capo that I want to share with you. I've got this local luthier that you absolutely need to know about. But first, Noah, I want to visit you and celebrate some small wins.
Yes, let's do it. All right, Tony.
All right.
Things are seeming to be in working order. Had some flashy poo with the background of the album. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
But
that's all right.
Pulled it out.
We'll smooth it out.
All right. Small wins today coming in from past episode Acoustic Tuesday viewers. First one comes from Nat. Small win. Last week, it was past my boys' bedtime, and the wife was out of town on business, so I had my band over for practice. The band and I started jamming, acoustic, of course, and working on new tunes on the opposite side of the house from my boys' rooms. After checking on my three-year-old several times to find him awake and playing quietly in his bed, I said, "Do you want to join band practice?" Wide-eyed, he excitedly said, "Let me get my guitar." He jumped out of bed, unzipped the case, and grabbed his ukulele. He walked with me across the house, and upon seeing my band, he said, "I'm Mason, and I brought my guitar." He sat next to me the whole practice. He played when we played, stopped when we stopped, and at one point he said, "Dad, my guitar doesn't sound like yours. We'll have to tune it, and I'll teach you a few chords, but you're doing great," I replied. My band was super uber impressed. I've never been more proud as a father. My first band practice with my son was beyond epic. Cheers.
That is so rad. That is outstanding. What a cool story. Congratulations. That's an awesome small win.
Awesome win, Nat. Next one comes from Bill. He's thrown in a couple small wins here, Tony.
Okay.
First one, he saw Emmy Lou Harris, 71 years old, and she still has it.
Oh, amazing.
And his small win number two, he just got his eargasms, taking them to see Joe Bonamassa.
That's right, yeah.
Saturday night.
Awesome. That'll be good. That'll be a good test for him because Joe's an amazing player. You're going to still want to hear the music, of course, but the eargasms will just drop the level, retain the clarity, and I think you'll really dig him. So that's an awesome small win as well.
And last one comes from Russ. Small win is new guitar. My wonderful and most impressive wife has negotiated with me to sell a few of my guitar arsenal in order to buy a new Taylor K14 CE V-Class Builder
nice.
Series guitar.
All right.
I have four more to sell, and I'm there.
Heck yeah. Congratulations. That's outstanding.
There's our small wins for today, Tony.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Noah, for sharing those small wins. And of course, if you want your small win featured, it's very, very easy. In the comments below this video, all you have to do is put hashtag small win and go ahead and describe your small win. Maybe you went to an awesome acoustic show. Maybe you had your first band practice with your son, daughter, or somebody else that is a guitar geek up and coming. Maybe you taught your first lesson. Whatever the case may be, please share your small win with us. It helps us create this positive momentum that we all need throughout our guitar journeys. Now, real quick, because I want to just share some light on share a story about Emmy Lou Harris. A couple years ago, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, I was invited to play this festival with a band that I was in at the time, and Emmy Lou was headlining. I mean, we were playing days before and on the very early the early slot in the festival. So it's not like we were opening for Emmy Lou. We were just happening to be a part of the same festival, which featured a lot of great artists. But I remember being in back in the hospitality tent because it was an outside festival and seeing Emmy Lou's tour bus, and then she had like this side kind of a dressing area that was an enclosed like an Airstream trailer. And I remember seeing her walk from the tour bus to the trailer, and I just stopped everything that I was doing, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, that's Emmy Lou Harris." It was like an enigma. That's country royalty. I mean, I just was floored. So I can't imagine, seeing her at 71 playing and just being awesome. It made me remember that story. I wanted to share that with all of you guitar geeks because I think we've all had that moment where we just kind of like look at an artist that we admire, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Anyways, moving on. I want to tell you about a MacGyver capo, okay? This capo that I'm about to share with you is not necessarily my favorite capo, but it is a necessary capo. I love my McKinney Elliott capo, right? It stays on the guitar neck. It's sturdy. It's machine stainless steel. They're made incredibly well. I have two of them at this point, and I love them. I love Elliott capos, plain and simple, bottom line. But what happens when you forget your capo, right? You're kind of SOL, right? That's why I love this capo I'm about to share with you, because it's my emergency go-to capo. Now, you might be thinking, Tony, how the hell can you lose a capo that clamps onto your guitar and stays there? Well, if you change strings, you take the capo off. And, you know, sometimes we're hasty and we forget to put the capo back on. I've done it a couple of times. So this emergency capo has come in handy. It's extremely light and it's extremely convenient. It is called the Planet Waves NS Lite Capo. It's an ABS injection molded capo that has a micrometer kind of a tension screw on it, but rather me share all the details with you right now. I actually did a review on this capo some time ago and I wanted to share it with you right now. So let's have a look. And today's capo is the NS Lite capo by Planet Waves. This particular capo is a fantastic capo, and light is the perfect descriptor for it. It's a tiny capo. It's very, very, very easy to use. In fact, this capo, as I mentioned, is my backup capo. It's in almost all my guitar cases. And one of the reasons it's in almost all my guitar cases is not only because it's an effective capo, but because it's very inexpensive. I saw prices anywhere, ranging anywhere from $8 to $15. And if you're curious on the current price, go ahead and click the link below in the description. That'll give you the current price of this particular capo. But the NS Lite capo is very easy to use. I would consider it, you know, two-hand operation. Essentially, it has a screw right on the back here. You can kind of see it. That actually adjusts the tension. You can see it close in there. An opening there. So what I'll do is I'll open it, go ahead and place it on the second fret here. I'll hold it in my left hand, use my right hand to kind of orient it, and then on the back, I'll go ahead and screw down that the screw so that it clamps just hard enough to make sure the strings aren't buzzing. I've got a little buzz there, so what I'll do is just clamp it a touch harder. And that's gone away. So that's the beauty of these tension adjusting capos, is that if it happens to be buzzing for any reason, you can just go ahead and readjust it, and usually it'll clear up pretty quickly. So this capo, you know, as far as its functionality, it's very easy to use. As far as its durability, that's where I feel this particular capo, I would give it kind of a C rating. Not saying it's not durable, because it is, but there's things that I want you to watch out for. The first of which, I'll actually show you over here, the screw. It doesn't have a stop on it, so you can actually back it out all the way on accident and lose it. That's not a good thing. You don't want that. So that's just one of the things I want you to look out for. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a detriment to this particular capo, but it's something that I want you to be aware of when you're looking at it. The second thing, and this happened on one of mine, is this button actually popped off the stem of the screw because it's just glued in there on the bottom. And it was actually really easy to fix. I just used some super glue, reset it, and it was fine. But the more that you tighten down on this particular screw, if you're really torquing on it, that can happen. So just be aware of that. And I've also had a capo, an NS Lite capo, actually the threads strip. And again, that's a result of too much pressure or just overuse. You know, if you had it for a couple of years, chances are the threads could start to, you know, you could cross thread it, the threads could wear out, it could essentially strip. So just a couple of things to be aware.
It's true. This little bugger here is in nearly every one of my guitar cases, mainly due to the price point and its effectiveness. Generally, as I mentioned, they range from about $8 to $15 for the NS Capo Lite. I just discovered they also have an NS Pro, which is made out of aluminum instead of a plastic. So that's an option as well. And of course, for all pricing details and things like that, just go to AcousticLife.tv, episode 41. You'll find all you need to know about the NS Capo. And I think you'll really dig it, because it's nice to have that, I'll call it a security blanket, if you will. And of course, if you're sitting there thinking, but wait, I like that capo, that's cool, but I have something else I want all of these guitar geeks to know about on Acoustic Tuesday. Well, gosh, please be a part of the show. You can submit a product, and if I love it too, I'll feature you and the product on the show. If you want to submit a product, all you have to do is go to AcousticLife.tv. In the top menu, you'll see a little button that says Submit. Click on that, and you can submit a product, you can submit an artist that you want me to hear, and of course, you can submit your Guitarsonal picture. So make sure to check that out, and I invite you to please be a part of the Acoustic Tuesday show. It's great to hear from you guys. And speaking of hearing from you all, I want to know what you think about the show so far. So in the comments below, please let us know what you think. Did you make a new discovery? Do you just want to say, hey, I'm tuning in from, I don't know, some cool place. Please leave a comment, of course, in the comments below. And while you're at it, if you have not done so yet,
please subscribe to this YouTube channel. It's super easy. It takes mere seconds. Click that red subscribe button, and then don't forget to click that little bell. That'll give you a video, a notification of each new video that gets released. And of course, if you want Acoustic Tuesday delivered directly to your email, that is an option that most guitar geeks choose. Just click the link in the description, and of course, you'll get Acoustic Tuesday delivered directly to your email inbox, along with access to my Guitar Geek list, which is something I don't think you want to miss at all. Now, speaking of comments and shout-outs and things, I know Noah has been just chomping at the bit over there to share what he's discovered from a previous Acoustic Tuesday episode. Noah?
Yes, well said, Tony. Chomping at the bit. Or drinking at the cusp of the hodag.
Right. That sounds like a ritual.
Yeah.
You know, like drinking at the like the altar of the hodag.
We should make it one.
Greg T, this is all your fault.
All right. So, comments and some shout outs coming in from past Acoustic Tuesday viewers. First one comes in from Keith. He says he's hailing from rainy and muggy South Carolina. And he says, love the guitar geekdom. The new picks are a revelation.
Awesome.
By the way, I met Sean Hopper, acoustic guitarist extraordinaire, at a Martin Experience event not too long ago.
Cool.
He demonstrated some great new products and played some great music. I acquired his CD, Lowercase Letters,
okay,
and was taken onto a journey. Give it a listen. Thank you. Great show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the comment. Of course, thank you for sharing a new artist. I'm just jotting some notes here. Go ahead, Noah.
All right. Next one comes from Thomas. He says, good morning, guys, from Scotland.
All right.
Watch the V-Class story. What a great watch.
Oh, cool. Yeah. The interview with Andy Powers.
And last comment, shout out, comes from Sebastian. He says, hi, guys. I watched every episode from the very beginning of this channel, and I love it. It keeps me inspired to keep on searching for new music, new gear, and guitars. I think it is a great platform to share ideas and personal guitar breakthroughs and discoveries with everyone. All the best from, wow, Czestochowa in Poland.
Nice work, Noah.
Thanks.
Nice
all the
work.
Best. He even like did it phonetically in parentheses for me. But yeah, Czestochowa. In Poland.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. I'm glad the show's keeping you inspired. Thank you.
Now, Tony, I think at this point, no Acoustic Tuesday would be complete without sharing some You Know You're a Guitar Geek wins.
I agree. I mean, this is pretty much a new tradition at this point, so we may as well just dive right in.
When you are partaking at the cusp of the hodag altar, sharing You Know You're a Guitar Geek wins is crucial. So here's some new... You know you're a guitar geek when. This one comes from Ray. He says, you know you're a guitar geek when you keep a guitar in the bathroom.
Accurate statement and guilty.
Sean says, you know you're a guitar geek when you go to a jewelry store and you compare the prices of diamonds and jewels that your wife wants to guitars that you want to try and work out a trade.
Bargaining tokens. I love it.
Next one comes from Mike. You know you're a guitar geek when you go on a 21-day cruise around Europe and the Baltic with your wife, but check out where all the guitar shops are in each city before you go.
That's outstanding. Very true.
All right, and last one for today comes from Jan, and says, you know you're a guitar geek when while your friends talk about that girl that got away, you remember that guitar that makes you happy and has gone away, leaving your heart broken.
We got a couple of those. We got a couple of those personally. Oh, that's it?
That's it for today,
all right,
Tony.
Well, thank you for sharing those, Noah. And of course, if you want to complete that sentence and be a part of the Acoustic Tuesday show, that's really easy. In the comments below, just finish the sentence. You know you're a guitar geek when, and go ahead and finish that off, and we'll feature you on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, the whole point of Acoustic Tuesday is for guitar geeks to unite. And now we have AcousticLife.tv, which is an amazing website you can go to. Type in your browser, AcousticLife.tv. You can do a deep dive on anything I have ever talked about on Acoustic Tuesday, and there's some hidden gems in there for you to find as well. And one of the best ways to get more guitar geeks uniting, of course, is to share that website with them. So if you know of any guitar geek who has not even heard of Acoustic Tuesday, has never watched Acoustic Tuesday, please let them know. And of course, send them a link to AcousticLife.tv. Again, anything that's purchased through that website, all the proceeds go to Guitars for Vets, a nonprofit organization really sharing the love of music and, of course, the healing power of music that I think we can all connect with on some level during our own personal guitar journey. So again, share AcousticLife.tv with your Guitar Geek buddies. Make sure your Guitar Geek buddies are aware of Acoustic Tuesday and all of the Guitar Geek goodness that comes with it. Now, of course, speaking of guitar geeks and sharing things, I've got two guitar signals that I want to share with you from our very own Acoustic Tuesday family. We're going to kick things off here with a fantastic shot. This is one of my most recent favorites from Eric T. Now, Eric hails from... he's from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, but he's visiting Burlington, Ontario. He says that's a small win. I don't know my geography all that well, so I'll take your word for it. That is a small win indeed. And, of course, this picture that he's sharing with us, he is proudly wearing his Guitar Signal shirt, which is very, very important. He says, during my visit to Lowe Vintage Instruments, he met Will Lowe and feeling very, very welcomed. Of course, Will Lowe is holding a 1957 Martin D28, and Eric T. is along by his side. And he says, in closing, he says, awesome store and awesome people. Now, that's so cool to see an Acoustic Tuesday viewer going to a shop that was featured in a past episode of Acoustic Tuesday. So thank you, Eric T., for sharing that awesome take on a Guitar Signal picture with us. Next up, we have Jerry P. He is from Greer, South Carolina. Of course, proudly sporting his Guitar Signal t-shirt. And he has got a gag. I mean, wow, this is a serious guitar geek here. I got a list of guitars here. The front row, left to right, we've got a 96 PRS Artist 3, an 82 Gretsch BST 1500, a 2017 Ron Kern Custom Telly, a 1943 Gibson LG2 with a spruce top. Got my eyes on that one. That's pretty awesome. A 2002 Martin 0015S, a 2015 Martin CE07, a 96 Wild custom guitar made by Bill Lawrence, the pickup guru, a 1996 Fender Stratocaster Relic, 1960 era, and we don't know the exact date on this, but a 61-65 Silvertone 1446L. Pretty awesome guitar there. Now the back row. This has got some standouts in my opinion. A 1936 Martin Singolo 17, which totally caught my eye because I think I have the brother guitar to that. I have a Singolo 17 of a very similar vintage, so very cool guitar there. 2015 Martin Artist Series Custom, a 2013 Martin SC OM13, a 2005 Martin OM28 Marquee. I've got one of those as well, and I love mine, and I'm sure you love yours as well, Jerry. A 1960 Martin Tenor Ukulele, and a 2012 Leo Pasch Custom Grand Auditorium. Oh, that is a Guitar Signal. So thank you, Jerry P., for sharing your Guitar Signal with us. And of course, if you want to feature your Guitar Signal on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday, it's really, really easy. There's three simple steps. You got to get yourself a Guitar Signal shirt. There's a link right beneath this video. All you have to do is click on it, order your favorite color and size, and bam, you got yourself a Guitar Signal shirt. The next step, get all of your guitars together, put on your Guitar Signal shirt, and go ahead and take a picture with you and your guitars in it. And the third step, submit your picture at AcousticLife.tv. Go to AcousticLife.tv, click Submit from the top menu. You'll see an option for Guitar Signal pop down, and you can add your picture and your description right there on AcousticLife.tv and app. Of course, once you do that, you'll be featured in an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. It's always great to hear from you guitar geeks and also see what is in your collections. There is no collection that is too small. There is no collection that is too big. A Guitar Signal is a Guitar Signal, whether it consists of one guitar or 40 guitars. So please share those with us here on Acoustic Tuesday. All right. We are nearing the end of Acoustic Tuesday, but I've got one more very important item to share with you. We have a local luthier that is quite literally roughly 2 miles away from Acoustic Life Studios. Well, we can walk out our door and go 2 miles and go to an incredible small bench luthier. Now, this luthier's name is Kevin Kopp. Kevin Kopp moved to Bozeman in 1992 to work for Gibson Guitar, which is also in Bozeman. And very quickly, he kind of rose through the ranks and started working at the custom shop inside Gibson Acoustic Guitar, working alongside the likes of John Walker and Ren Ferguson. I mean, we're talking big time luthiers here. And then after that, he thought, you know what? I'm going to go out on my own and I'm going to do repairs. I'm going to start my own thing. So he repaired a ton of vintage instruments from around the area. And because he had such an intimate knowledge of these instruments, I mean, literally taking them apart, doing rebuilds, etc., he was able to really get a peek at what makes these instruments tick. And in doing so, the next obvious logical step was to go ahead and start his own brand and kind of guitars. Now, the Kopp guitars, Kevin Kopp's instruments are... they're remarkable. They're made with such care and attention to detail. Now, because of Kevin's experience at Gibson, you'll see that Kevin's models resemble a lot of, a lot of models from Gibson, but by no means are these direct Gibson copies. There's attention to detail that I see in his stuff that really floors me and I think really sets him apart. From the hand-rubbed finishes to the braces cut under the kerfing to the overall voice of the instruments, I think they're very different. Obviously, as I mentioned, you'll see the likeness. Two of my favorite models by Kevin are the LO2 and the Trail Boss, both of which I've had the extreme pleasure to play. I've also had a chance to play the K35, which is awesome. But I also found a great review from Acoustic Tuesday family member Matt from Eddie's Guitars. He's reviewing an advanced jumbo from Kevin Kopp, so let's actually have a look at that right now.
Hello again, all you fine acoustic guitar fanatics. Matt with Eddie's Guitars coming to you, as always, from St. Louis, Missouri. You have fortunately caught me on a very, very good day. We have just received a guitar from my good friend Kevin Kopp up in Bozeman, Montana. And I am always exceptionally pleased when we receive a new instrument from Kevin. His stuff never, ever disappoints. This is our first advanced jumbo guitar that we've received from Kevin. It is completely awesome, just completely awesome. We've got a great looking alcohol dyed sunbursted top here, which is done completely by hand. It is not sprayed, it is rubbed in by hand. The alcohol dye here does not add any weight to the top of this guitar the way that a sprayed sunburst would, so this top stays super, super active, super lively. Adirondack top here, nice wide grain Adirondack braces under the hood here. Fully hide glue constructed guitar, so very traditional, sure sounds good. The back and sides of this particular one are a great looking set of dark straight grain Madagascar rosewood. Sure, just a great looking set of wood here, wonderful color to it. The body is bound, as well as the neck actually, in a grained ivory. Looks very nice popping against that sunburst and that dark rosewood. We've got the very traditional advanced jumbo style inlays on the fingerboard here, as well as on the headstock. We've got an 1¾-inch nut width on this guitar, and this has a kind of a custom neck carve for Eddie's Guitars. This is a 1934 Big Fat V neck, so it's a bit bigger neck than what would typically come on Kevin's guitars. And then we've got the nickel Waverly keys down here tying it all together. This is an absolute powerhouse, whether you're playing it really lightly or really jamming on the thing. It does both in spades. Awesome. Let's go take a listen to this one. You're going to be impressed.
So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, that K35 sounded robust. I love Matt's playing that guitar. Wow, I'm amazed. If you're interested in a Kopp guitar, please contact Matt at Eddie's Guitars or go right to Kevin Kopp's website and just kind of learn about the different models. I think you'll be amazed at the attention to detail, as I mentioned before. Really an exceptional builder, and we're so lucky to have him right here in Bozeman, Montana. Again, those are Kevin Kopp guitars made in Bozeman, Montana. I love that we bookended the show with straps from Belgrade, Montana, and then we finished up with Kevin from right here in Bozeman. See what I did there?
And Matt was involved.
Yeah, and Matt was. I mean, it's like Acoustic Tuesday family reunion, and that's what we had planned for episode 41, of course.
Totally.
Now, speaking of episode 41, it's nearly come to a close. But first, we've got one important item of business. We got to figure out who founded Tacoma Records. So your Guitar Geek trivia question was, just to review, The Tacoma record label was founded in the year 1959. This label was highly influential in the acoustic world. Who founded this record label? Was it A, Robbie Basho, B, John Fahey, C, Leo Kottke, or D, Peter Lang? Well, if you answered B, John Fahey, you are correct. Fahey founded Tacoma with the help of Ed Denson. The Tacoma story began in 1959 in the Washington, D.C. suburb of Tacoma Park, Maryland, when Fahey borrowed $300 and pressed 100 copies of his now legendary album, Blind Joe Death. By 1963, Fahey and Denson moved to California. Tacoma's roster of musicians then included Leo Kottke, Peter Lang, Mike Aldridge, Robbie Basho, and Booker White, amongst others, of course. And in 1979, Fahey sold Tacoma Records to Chrysalis Records. Now, Tacoma's best-selling album ever just happened to be Leo Kottke's 6 and 12 string guitar, released originally in 1969. Now, another little factoid. I learned that Leo Kottke actually plays a Kevin Kopp guitar as well, as long as Daryl Scott. So there's all sorts of connections we can make. A very cool piece of trivia and acoustic guitar history lore that you can tuck away and, of course, unleash on your guitar geek friends if you want to impress them with your vast knowledge and guitar geekdom. So that pretty much puts that pretty much puts episode 41 to rest for this week, but let's take a quick sneak peek into next week to see what kind of trouble we're going to get ourselves into. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to immerse ourselves into the ever-expanding Guitar Geek Library. We'll listen to a contemporary of Robert Johnson and our very first viewer-submitted artist feature that'll knock your socks off. I know it knocked my socks off, Noah's socks were knocked off, and I'm pretty sure anybody within the listening radius, their socks were blown through the wall as well. So I cannot wait to see you next week on Acoustic Tuesday. And of course, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And for your acoustic guitar fix in the intermittent time in between Acoustic Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv. Every purchase you make through that website, all of the proceeds will go to Guitars for Vets, which is a cause, as a guitar geek, we can all, of course, get behind. And if you're thinking, wait, I want to feature something on Acoustic Tuesday, you can be a part of this show. Just go to acousticlife.tv, click on submit. You can submit a product for consideration, an artist for consideration, and of course, your guitar arsenal as well. So, from all of us here at Acoustic Life Studios, have a great Tuesday, and until next Tuesday, keep being a guitar geek and waving that flag, that guitar geek flag, loud and proud. Cheers, and we'll see you next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Listen to the jingle, the